speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message was not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Amen. Let's pray together as we seek God's blessing. Our gracious God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we draw near to you now this morning. We are so thankful that you come to us by your grace. You welcome us, O Lord. Even as we open up our Bibles, as we come before your word, which is flawless, we are thankful, Lord, that you bring to us today true truth in a world that has rejected that truth. And we ask now that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see, because, Lord, we are, Lord, we're terribly needy and we need your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray now, and give us this illumination. And Lord, as we listen to your words, we pray that you would show us Jesus and Him alone. In your name we pray. Amen. Someone asked the great British preacher of another generation, Charles Spurgeon, why all his sermons sounded alike. Spurgeon said this. He said, that's simple. He said, I take my text wherever I can find it, and then I make a beeline for the cross. So what Spurgeon was doing is simply the text to the cross. Preachers since then have done the same. Paul, the apostle in this passage that we read, is doing exactly the same. He's taking the cross, and that's his beeline. That's where he's going to as he preaches here. It's hard for us this morning. We're so far removed from Corinth in the early first century. We're so far removed from that city. And yet today, as we look at this text, we see that the need really is the same, to make that beeline for the cross, not only as we preach God's word, as Pastor Jeff will do, but also as believers here in this room, as we will share God's word, the message of the cross. Paul had come to Corinth from the city of Athens. It had not been a good experience in many ways. He was convinced during his time there of the folly of human wisdom. Chapter 1 ends with that difference between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom. The world's wisdom, which is really folly, and what appears to the world as folly is actually God's wisdom, the message of the cross. So Paul arrives there in Corinth. In chapter 1, if you look down in verse 25, we see there, he says, the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So he's saying right out at the start, here is the cross. It appears to the world as folly, but this is my one sermon. You can imagine Paul in Corinth, first sermon. What is it? It's all about the cross. So this morning, as we look at this passage, we see that the one central message that not only does Paul drive home, but Pastor Jeff, myself, all our pastors, you and I, as we share the gospel, will make known. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. So let's go back in time in your Bibles, verse 1. When I came to you, brothers, picture Paul entering the city of Corinth. And we're going to look at three things about Paul's entrance to that city. First of all, Paul's manner. Secondly, his message. And thirdly, his motivation as he preaches the gospel in the city of Corinth. Let's look first of all at the manner of Paul's coming in there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. Try to imagine, Paul, it's one of those short hop planes from the city of Athens to Corinth, 30 minutes perhaps on the plane, and he's coming to check in, Paul is, and he's asked the question, Paul, have you any bags to check in? And Paul says, well, there are two bags, but I left them at home. I didn't want to bring them with me there. In fact, I'm bringing nothing in carry-on. I'm not bringing these bags. What does Paul not check in? Well, he says there in verse 1, lofty speech or wisdom. The NIV puts it eloquence or human wisdom. Paul is simply saying at the start, he said, I'm not packing these bags. I'm not bringing them to check in. I'm leaving them behind. Now, that was a shocker right at the start of this letter. The church in Corinth, part of a culture, the Greek philosophers, orators were prized above all other things. People flocked to hear them. They loved to hear their teaching in that day. But Paul is saying, I don't want these long, windy speeches filled with flowery language or rhetoric. He says, no, I'm leaving them behind. So the church in Corinth, think of them. Paul, give us what we want to hear. You know, Paul, you can leave everything else behind, but don't leave behind eloquence. Don't leave behind this human wisdom. We need those, Paul. Paul, you're going to draw a crowd. You're going to build a church. Paul, you better bring these things with you. Check them in, Paul. That's what they're saying. Paul would not take their leads. It's not that Paul didn't have these gifts. He was a gifted preacher and communicator. You go back to Acts chapter 14 and in verse 12, there in the city of Lystra, they mistook Paul and Barnabas for Greek gods. They called Paul Hermes, the Greek god of communication. They labeled Paul the chief speaker. So there they prized Paul. They said, no, he's an excellent communicator, is Paul. But he decides as he comes right in there to Corinth, he says, I'm not going to use these things. He's deliberately choosing to leave them behind. Here are two cases, and he's not going to check them in. And he's not nervous that the ministry there in Corinth would suffer as a result. The application is very simple for Pastor Jeff as he begins his ministry as senior pastor here in Crestwood. He will need time to develop those skills of communication. He will need time to study, to prepare his sermons, to work on those skills that he will need to communicate the gospel, the message of the cross to a very changing congregation in a city with many different needs. But it's very tempting in that context to preach, to embrace this world's wisdom. The world that says, you know, give us what we want. It's Sunday morning. It's warm. You're fiddling with your bulletin. There's a Facebook message you really want to open. There are kids speaking into each ear. You feel your eyelids getting heavier and heavier. And you say, Pastor Jeff, you're going to have to do something here. You're going to have to give us what we want. Keep us with you, Jeff. Use whatever skills you need. Give us some inspiring stories or warm anecdotes, or let's hear your confession of how you sinned this week, Jeff. We want to hear more. We want the latest media quotes or the latest new movie release, a little infomercial. Grab our attention, Jeff. Do what the world does. Now, this is not an excuse for making God's word boring. That's inexcusable when it comes to the message of the cross. But simply says this, here are two bags, you don't need to check in. In that world where really there are no check-in luggage anymore, it's all up above you or at your feet, here's what Paul is saying, leave those bags behind. So then, Paul, you say, well, what are you going to bring with you? Paul, if you're not checking in these, human wisdom, eloquence, what are you bringing with you to Corinth? Well, we read there in verses 3 and 4. Paul says this, he says, in verse 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom. J.B. Phillips paraphrases, he says this, I was feeling far from strong. I was nervous and rather shaky. So if your ruling elder, Wadia, had introduced me in those words, he says, Pastor Ian is coming. He's feeling far from strong, a little nervous, and really rather shaky. You would say, where did you get this guy? Send him home. So Paul, these words are an encouragement to us all, not just preachers, to all of us. As we seek to teach God's word, as we seek to share the gospel, the summer opportunities God gives us, Paul is saying, I'm rather ordinary. He's rebounding from mission journey where there had been rough times. There were beatings and floggings. He'd been left for dead in Lystra. You could check out Paul's body. The scars, the bruises, they tell the story. So Paul, he's walking into Corinth and he's limping in. He's not swaggering. He's standing there before them. This is not the Paul, the Superman, the media star who's coming in the limo to the Rexall place to perform for the audience. No, Paul is limping in weakness, fear, much trembling. To his Corinthian audience, well, that's not very impressive. Was Paul fearful? Was he afraid to stand up there and preach the message of the cross? It's not that kind of fear here. It's fear for Paul. Fear, very real fear that Paul, the apostle, would get in the way of the message. That his techniques, that his means, his methods would get in the way of this glorious message of the cross. This should cause every preacher to become nervous, that people would go away and say, what a great preacher, rather than to say, what a great Savior is Jesus Christ. So here is Paul. He's fearful, and there will be some very real fears for you, Pastor Jeff, for the congregation too as well. We look to the book of Acts, chapter 18, the story of Paul as he arrives there in Corinth, and we see a very needed assurance that Paul was given. The fears are real. Things will happen to Jeff and his ministry here, to you as a congregation, and they will cause real fear. Listen to what the Lord says to Paul, Acts 18, and let's read there verse 9 and 10. The Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, "Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people." He says, do not be afraid. Why? Paul's afraid. What is the assurance to you and I as we share the gospel in this city, Edmonton, Lethbridge, Alberta? God has many people in that city. So Paul's manner is clear at the start. He says, I'm not going to dwell on this human wisdom and eloquence. He says, it's all about the message. Look at the manner of his coming. Secondly, the message. We read there in verse 1. It's the testimony of God. This is what Paul has brought with him to Corinth. We read there, he is proclaiming it. It's not negotiating it. It's not even discussing it. He says, no, I am proclaiming the testimony of God. You hear the determination in his voice. He says, I decided to know nothing among you, he says, except. He's decided. He has resolved. This is the message, he says. He's not ignoring the culture that he's preaching in here. He was sensitive to the different city of Athens. You know, Paul's there in Athens. He's quoting the poets. He's quoting the philosophers. He would be quoting the modern people of today. But Corinth, he says, it's different. He says, the message is the same. The manner in which I came was different. So what is the message? What is the testimony of God? Well, we read verse 3. His answer is clear. He says, it's Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now again, think of it in contemporary terms. You can go to church websites, Facebook pages. You can look at those wayside pulpits, and you'll see many different ways of describing the message on a Sunday morning. Often it's simply, come and hear positive, uplifting, inspirational sermons or talks from the pastor. What's Paul saying? He says, simply this morning, you're a sinner and you can't save yourself. You need a Savior, and God, by His grace, has provided that Savior in Jesus Christ and His death upon the cross and the perfect life you couldn't live, His imputed righteousness. That's not common today. That's Paul's message. That's Paul's message. It's God's word to you this morning. Perhaps you're not a believer. You're here today and you've been brought along by a friend, or you come because your parents brought you along. But the question is simply this: have you come to Jesus? Have you trusted in his saving work for you? The message of the cross, is that your hope? Is that your trust that there on that cross he bore your sins and that you received his perfect righteousness? Are you trusting in him daily in that walk of repentance and faith? Are you a believer? The message is clear. It's the message of the cross. We make that beeline with Paul to the cross in our daily witness, in our worship services, Christ-centered, cross-centered. This is the gospel. This is our hope. How did this message come across in Corinth? Well, you read there in verse 4 again, you see Paul says, "My speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom." Again, the NIV, not with wise and persuasive words. Now, it's not that Paul was indifferent to the response of the people there in that city. And in Acts 18, verse 4, we read that Paul reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. It's not a take it or leave it. Pastor Jeff, as he preaches, he said, "Well, here it is. Whatever you do with it, I'm not really concerned. Take it or leave it." No, Paul, Pastor Jeff, there is this element here of clear passion that the gospel, the message of the cross, would be received by faith. But there's also the realization here for Paul, for all of us, that only God can bring anyone to faith. As we preach, as we bear witness to the gospel, at times we'll be met by a range of responses, from indifference, boredom, lack of understanding, or perhaps even open hostility against that message. Why? Well, let's go on, 1 Corinthians 2. Read there in verse 14. Paul says, "The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. He's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned." So when Paul writes there, he's saying, it's not about me working myself up there, he says, not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. This is not Paul's preaching passion. It's simply the recognition that it's the power of God that changes lives. It's when the Spirit comes on a gathering like this. It's when the Holy Spirit comes as we preach the message of the cross, lives are changed. So Paul says the message is clear. It's the cross of Christ. And then he ends there with his motivation. Read with me there. Verse 5, he says, verse 4 and 5, "But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that," now here's the motivation, "that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." This is why Paul doesn't check in those bags. This is why Paul will avoid all religious showboating or manipulation of his crowd. Here he sees faith, saving faith, based solely upon the power of the sovereign Lord, not on man's wisdom. He says it's about your faith. Pastor Jeff here in his ministry, he's going to be concerned about one thing above all else. What is your faith grounded on? For the Corinthians, it could have been just Paul the preacher, Paul the personality. There would always be another message to come. There would always be another preacher. They like to have their parties there in Corinth. Party of Paul, the party of Cephas, Peter, the party of Apollos. But Paul is saying here, there's always going to be one more traveling preacher, you could say. There's always going to be one more big idea. There's always going to be one more worldview, Paul says, that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men. Why? He says it's all about the power of God and demonstration of the Spirit and power. Paul's motivation for his ministry is to ground these new converts in Corinth, not on Paul the personality, but upon God and his power that can never be overthrown. What would be the evidence that this is happening? Well, it's changed lives. Changed lives are what you cannot fake. You cannot conceal. Maybe you're here and you're saying, well, I don't know, my life doesn't seem any different from when I became a member of this church, when I made that profession or that commitment to Jesus. Why is my life not changing? Well, maybe it's that long, hard question you ask, what is my faith based on? Am I truly trusting in Jesus Christ? As we preach Christ crucified and risen, are we looking for those lives changed by God's grace? Lives which are not bogus. We see the evidence. We see the power of God changing that young person, changing that old person. How here we need to pray for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. As a congregation, as your new pastor begins his ministry, we see that the need of us as a congregation is to pray that the Lord would pour out his Holy Spirit. Pray that the power of God would be changing lives here in this congregation, that there would be fruit not based on the latest cheesy gimmicks. There would be fruit not based on fiddling around with God's word. There would be fruit based upon the reality of the power of the living God. Now we see Paul's motivation. Paul could have done the media star thing. He could have done the rock star thing, played from the top of that building, stopped all the traffic below, and had his moment in the spotlight. He could have done all of those things. He had the skills, the gifts. He could have worked the crowd. But it was all about the cross for Paul. He's motivated solely by the need for faith that would rest on God's power. In Romans 1, verse 16, Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To you, if you come to Christ this morning, to believe in him as Lord, to see the cross, to see the dying form of one who loved you and gave himself for you, to receive that good news. Here is a message of hope for every believer, whether a believer for 5 days, 5 months, 5 years, or 50 years. It's a message of the cross. It's a thread that runs throughout this book that is open before us today. The story goes of a certain church that had a stained glass window behind the pulpit. It had a picture of Jesus on the cross. One Sunday, there was a guest preacher who came along to do the service to preach. He was much smaller than the regular pastor. A little girl was said to have listened to the guest preacher for a time, and she turns to her mom and looks up at her face and says this, "Where is the man who usually stands there so that we can't see Jesus?" My prayer for you, Jeff, is you're not standing in the way of Jesus and the cross. This is the message. This is the power of God for the salvation to everyone who believes. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we praise you for this glorious good news. Lord, not information, not good advice, not wise counsel, but the good news of the Christ who lived in perfect obedience to the Father, who laid down his life for his sheep on the cross, who rose again in glorious triumph, who ascended to your right hand, and Lord, you're coming back again. Until that time, Lord, the work continues. The ministry of your church here in Crestwood will continue until you return again. And we praise you, Lord, for the message of the cross, not only for Pastor Jeff to proclaim each Sunday, but Lord, for each of us to seek to share by your power with people who are not believers. And family vacation, Lord, even in our families, in our neighborhoods, on the sports field, Lord, with the people that we work with each day. This is glorious good news. We ask that we would do nothing or say nothing to get in the way of that glorious message of the cross. Empower us, O Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. And may we celebrate again the glorious message of good news. We pray together all these things in your name, Lord Jesus. We ask this. Amen. I'd like to call upon Pastor Jeff to come to the front along with the members of the commission from Western Canada Presbytery.